sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God who never leaves us. Amen. Back to school? Back to schedule for others of us? How's that going? Hanging on to the summer? It's still here in Northern Virginia, pretty hot. So we're kind of hanging on to summer in terms of the weather. But something is clearly shifting as fall is right around the corner now. We are at the beginning of a new academic year. Some started last Monday, some start tomorrow. However that looks for you this time around, here at the end of August, the beginning of September, however this kind of recalibrating looks and feels for you, I would suggest that it's time to get back to the basics. That's kind of the season we're in. Back to the basics. You can't start a new school year without going back to the basics. Pulling out the calendar, starting to recalibrate and look at things, reviewing where you've come from, what you did last year, where we left off, and then even looking at the very building blocks of whatever level or discipline is yours. You can't start anew without remembering where you've been. And this week, our lectionary texts are practically synced up with the same idea. We can't start anew without remembering where we've been. Back to the basics, back to the building rocks, molecules and cells, citations and punctuations, theories and formulas, monumental cases. Today in church, this building blocks, back to the basics, looks like this. It's about who we are and whose we are. We're singing basic camp songs and camp song chords today. They help us, really, with those questions. Back to the basics. Today's about where we've come from and then who is this Jesus? Our first lesson from Isaiah calls us, especially in difficult times, especially in times of trial, to look to the rock from which you were hewn, the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. Siblings in Christ, remember who you are. In other words, remember that we all come from the same rock. What a powerful image. God shaped us and molded us from a common rock, all of us, dug us up and breathed into each one of us. We trace our ancestry in the faith back to Abraham and Sarah, back to Adam and Eve, back to the very hands of God. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, the mighty fortress who is our God. How we can forget that. How we forget that all the time, that we all came from God. How we can run and hide from that. How we can deny and evade that. How we can just, you know, joke to blow it off. How our memories can be so short-term, tracing our ancestry of faith back only one or two generations, back to Pennsylvania, or Puerto Rico, or Iowa, or India, or Sweden, or Sierra Leone, but not hundreds and thousands of generations back. Let's get back to the building blocks today. It is the living God who chiseled away at our being and who continues to chisel away at us as we look forward, who dug us out of the dirt and gave us this holy life, this sacred earth, and who continues to dig us out of the quarry, out of our despair, out of our guilt, out of our brokenness and sorrow. It is the living God who refashions, remolds us, who puts us back together, that is, remembers us, who breathes into us new life again this day, and now sets us free. It is the living God who set the heavens in their places and filled up the seas with creatures. You know, we can start sounding like psalmists too when we go back and start reflecting on the basics. Maybe that's a nice challenge for us. May we be psalmists this week, this new season, as we begin anew. Even if you're not getting back into a classroom with our children or our teachers in this time, may we all be like psalmists, singing God's praises and wondrous deeds with all of our thoughts and our actions. We have been resuscitated by the living God, brought to life again and now again. And having been brought back, having been hewn from the rock, this God, this Jesus asks us a question. Who do people say that I am? Jesus pokes and prods his followers, his sheep. It's kind of a timeless question. Who do people say that I am? Jesus asks. People are still talking about Jesus, saying who Jesus is or who Jesus is not, or at least who Jesus once was. Pick your context and your camp, and off you can go with things to say about Jesus. Many in our post-Christendom, post-modern American culture believe that Jesus was simply a prophet, like the disciples said in this text. Many say you're a prophet, just a prophet, just a radical activist who was executed for advocating love of the poor and the outcast, violating Jewish laws and undermining Roman authorities. I mean, all good, right? Compelling stories, but he lived long ago. And all that's pretty much irrelevant today, especially as you look around, other than being maybe just another inspirational role model, another influencer who we can never fully imitate. That's who some say Jesus is. Others think he was just a really nice pastory type person who wants to be your best friend in spirit. Not sure about all the radical activism stuff. The real point of Jesus, some others might say, is just to have a personal relationship with just you. Singular. I had a professor in seminary who was not in that camp. He really disliked the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," because he thought it had misled generations of Christians to shortchange the church's confession of who Jesus is. Peter's confession here is about who Jesus is, and Peter did not confess Jesus as his friend. Of course, Jesus can be a friend, and I don't mean to undermine or make light of that relationship, but as disciples of the one who came to earth to take on our flesh, who ventured through the pain-filled valleys of our existence, offering both life-giving healing and life-changing challenges, who suffered death, not just for his friends, but for this whole earth, this whole cosmos, and then rose from the dead to have the last word over death and evil. We must stand and confess a whole lot more then he's just my special spiritual friend or just an inspirational radical figure in history. Amen. Those are just two examples of who people say Jesus is, but siblings in Christ, today, as the seasons turn again, we're invited to join with Peter in his confession of Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, sent from God, and yet very God. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, as the old Nicene Creed helps us give words for what is truly beyond words. Today, we're invited to join with Peter, friends, and go back to the basics as we too confess Jesus, the rock of our salvation. Yes, a friend. Yes, a radical activist for the poor and the outcast. Yes, Son of the living God. Yes, God's own flesh. God's own self in the flesh before our very eyes in this word, in this holy communion, in these holy waters of baptism, in you. Yes, Jesus lived long ago, and yes, Jesus lives now. Our confession's a great one. I mean, a wide one, like Peter's. And in making this bold confession that we do each week, we become rocks as well. Rocks on which this church is built. We're moving, by the way, in the Gospel of Matthew into a season of talking about what it means to be the church. How church operates and believes and speaks and serves differently. Stay tuned. I mean, it begins here with a confession, a bold statement about who God is. And that's what this church is built upon. Peter's confession becomes our confession. And so Jesus is beyond just friendly or relevant or inspirational. Jesus becomes necessary. For without him, for us who are his flock, his sheep, his disciples, his followers, without him, we have no life. Our life and breath is wrapped up in Christ. That's lesson number one, back to the basics. Simple and yet profound, like a camp song. Except this is more than just a lesson. This is a gift. And this gift is ours for free. Nothing you can do to earn it or precede it. All we can do is accept it. All we can do is put out our hands and receive it. God's grace, life in Christ, poured out for you and for many. Let's start with that this new season. God's done the work, given the gift. Now we just get to be the church. Paul's letter to the Romans today speaks to this and gives us further instruction. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Don't be, I'm inserting some words here, some translation to the image, but don't be chiseled. Paul says molded, but don't be chiseled into the ways of this world. But continue to be chiseled. By God. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of this God who has hewn you from the rock. Friends in Christ, back to the basics. We are the church, and Christ is the one foundation. And Christ is still chiseling. Still working, still calling us, still molding us, still tapping away at us and this world, sculpting a way for peace, the peace that passes all human understanding. Praise be to Jesus, the Messiah, and thanks be to God. Amen.
Us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.